Going to be reading from Acts chapter 1, a passage with which you will be familiar, but perhaps not in these words. In the first book I wrote was about everything that Jesus did and taught. I wrote about the whole life of Jesus from the beginning until the day he was taken up into heaven. Before this, Jesus talked to the apostles he had chosen. With the help of the Holy Spirit, Jesus told them what they should do. After his death, he showed himself to them and proved in many ways that he was alive. The apostles saw Jesus during the 40 days after he was raised from death. He spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he told them not to leave Jerusalem. He said, "The Father has made you a promise which I told you about before. Wait here to receive this promise. John baptized people with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The apostles were all together. They asked Jesus, "Lord, are you at this time going to give the kingdom back to Israel?" Jesus said to them, "The Father is the only one who has the authority to decide dates and times. These things are not for you to know. But the Holy Spirit will come to you. Then you will receive power. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and in every part of the world." After he said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud hid him from their sight. As he was going, they were looking into the sky. Suddenly, two men wearing white clothes stood beside them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking into the sky? Jesus, whom you saw taken up from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you saw him go." Then they went back to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. This mountain is about half a mile from Jerusalem. When they entered the city, they went to the upstairs room where they were staying. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, known as the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, were there. They all continued praying together with some women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus' brothers. This is the word of the Lord.
The reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, and it can be found on the screen. Okay. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, "When he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men." What does "he ascended" mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning, everyone. Let's pray, shall we? We say, come, Holy Spirit. Come and teach us all you want to teach us this morning. Come and empower us and fill us afresh to be your people, living in your will, we pray. Amen. I am going to be particularly looking at the chapter from Acts today. So if you would got a Bible, do turn to page 1092, which we're going to be looking at carefully today. So we're going to be continuing our series on the Holy Spirit. Up to now we've been looking at how the Holy Spirit particularly inwardly transforms us and helps us in the ordinary things of life. We've looked at the transforming Spirit, about how the Spirit makes us more like Jesus. We've looked at the helping Spirit, about how the Holy Spirit helps us to speak and to pray and to understand the truth. We've talked about the guiding Spirit, how the Holy Spirit can guide us to live God's way, can guide us to step into what God has for us. And last week, I think you looked at the intimate Spirit, the comforting Spirit, how the Holy Spirit brings intimacy with God. He pours God's love into our hearts. He comforts us and gives us peace. And they're all some of the things that the Spirit does, but the Spirit isn't just given for ourselves so that we can be transformed and have a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling and feel good about ourselves. The Spirit is here for more than that. The Spirit is given so that we can be empowered to partner with God in His mission. And today and in the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at this, what it means, what it meant for the early church in the book of Acts, and what it means for us now. So over the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at the book of Acts. And in effect, this sermon today is the last sermon in the last series and the first sermon in the next series. It's carefully planned to be a bridging between the two series. So just let's think a little bit about the book of Acts first of all. The book of Acts is written by Luke, we think, Luke the doctor, who wrote Luke's gospel. So in effect, it is Luke's gospel, part two. And in it, it starts, as we heard today, with Jesus' ascension, which we remembered last Thursday. When Jesus ascended, after he rose again, he ascended into heaven. And so we see right at the start, we see the final instructions being given to the disciples. And actually how Luke starts is he starts by saying, in effect, you're continuing the mission of Jesus. He says in verse 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until he was taken up to heaven. He says, in effect, in my first book in the Gospel, I wrote about what Jesus began to do during his life here on earth. But what he's really saying by that, the implication is that I'm actually now writing about what he continued to do, even though he'd ascended to heaven, but through his church and by his Spirit. You see, I think in many ways, maybe we've even got the title of this book wrong as well. It shouldn't be the Acts of the Apostles as much as the Acts of Jesus, part two, through his apostles. And what we'll see as we go through the book of Acts is that the apostles and the early church continued to do the things that Jesus did. They continued his mission in the power of the Spirit. And what was his mission? Well, again, I think in verse 3 it gives us a clue. What did Jesus spend time in between his resurrection and ascension talking about with his disciples? It said he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. You see, his mission was to bring in the kingdom. What Jesus spoke about continually on earth
was talked about the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus came for, to bring in the kingdom of God. And that's what we are still involved with and praying 2,000 years later, aren't we? As we pray, thy kingdom come. And I'm going to particularly be talking about that at Deeper tonight. So come along to Deeper and find out a little bit more what it means to pray thy kingdom come. And just to clarify, Deeper is here tonight. We were going to have it in the prayer tent, but there's not enough space. So we are back here as usual tonight. And so what we find is that Jesus is leaving his disciples to continue his mission of bringing in the kingdom. So I want us to think a little bit about what did it look like for Jesus, this mission? What was he asking those disciples to continue? Well, what Jesus did, well, he proclaimed the kingdom, didn't he? He taught the good news that you can be forgiven, that relationship with God can be restored, and if you repent and turn back to God, that you can know God, and that God knows you and that God loves you. That was what he was proclaiming, that God was that amazing story, the prodigal son. God is the Father welcoming his children home. He also went about making disciples, didn't he? That was a bit about bringing the kingdom in, making followers of Jesus, helping people to live their lives in a different and radical way, following Jesus' example, following God's leading. And not only did he talk about the kingdom, but he demonstrated the kingdom. He healed the sick. He brought freedom, justice, and release to the oppressed. These were all glimpses, if you like, of the final kingdom. And this is what I'm going to talk about tonight, when actually the kingdom will come in all its fullness, in it for all eternity, when there'll be no more sickness and sadness and pain and suffering, and no more relationships broken, and people will live with God forever. That's the new creation, which we find right at the end of the Bible, that Jesus was ushering in and giving us glimpses of. He was bringing transformation in communities too. Jesus dwelt, didn't he, with the least and the last and the lost. Those who were outcast, those who were excluded, and he brought them back into community, into relationship with God. See, that's something of what it means for God's kingdom to come. That is what the apostles were called to continue. And in Acts, as we'll see as we look at this, the first few chapters of this book in the next few weeks, we see the apostles doing all of these things. We'll see them preaching the good news. We'll see them healing. We'll see them making disciples. We'll see them forming a radical community by living differently from those people around them. And I want to just stop and think about community for a while, because community is really important here to us at All Saints, isn't it? Community is one of our really key things here. And it's been lovely hearing some of our newer members sharing with me and others just recently of just how they found you lot to be so welcoming and loving and a really different community to what they've experienced before. And I think that's been lovely that you haven't heard that, but I've heard people say that. And that's great, and that's a sign of the kingdom coming in our midst. And as we'll see, there are some great passages in Acts that we'll be looking at which describe what real community, God's community, looks like and acts like. What community looks like in the kingdom of God. We'll see that for the early church, it meant that groups who had little to do with each other actually were very separate, Jews and Gentiles, slaves and masters. They started meeting together and worshipping side by side, and the barriers were broken down. It talks about a community which started radically pooling their resources. People would sell houses, sell fields, so that actually there was no one needy in the community. That's radical. It's a community which we know that the widows and the orphans were looked after and cared for. And that's why it's so lovely to hear Ness's story of the fostering today. This is the kingdom. This is what it means to be part of the kingdom, is to bring in those who don't have parents, who are the ones who are fatherless and motherless, and to care for them and to bring them into God's big family. You see, all that was demonstrating to the world around them what God's radical kingdom was all about. In all those ways, the early church continued the mission of Jesus, demonstrating and proclaiming the kingdom, God's new rule and reign, God's new way of living. Jesus had departed, yes, not because he was dead. Luke makes that quite clear, that he'd risen again and that many people had seen him and he'd gone back to heaven to be with his Father. But his mission on earth was continuing. He'd passed on the baton, or perhaps more correctly, he'd passed on the Spirit, his empowering Spirit, to his church to continue doing the things that he had done. And you know, the great news is that we're all called to join in. That we are all part of that. That here in 21st century Malvern, we are given that call too. Just as he called those first few disciples, we're called to continue to do the things that Jesus did. To join in with his mission in our own little patch of his world. But I guess there are many of us here who hear that and think, you know, I'm just a nobody. I can't do that. I'm just not one of those keenly missionary types. I'm not that spiritual. Jesus can't use me. And you know, you're right. You can't do it. You can't do it. We cannot bring in the kingdom on our own. And you know, thinking that I can't do it is a really good starting point, because it means we don't try and do it in our own strength. And you know, it was the same for the disciples. The disciples who were just like us. There's a lovely phrase we'll come onto in Acts 4 where it talks about someone said, look at Peter and John. And Nathan says, they are unschooled, ordinary men. But they just healed this man completely. You see, they were just like us. They were ordinary people. They were people who couldn't do it themselves. They were the nobodies. And that's why the last commandment Jesus gives to his disciples before he leaves is this one. Wait. Wait. Don't leave Jerusalem. Don't set out on mission on your own. You need to wait to receive the Holy Spirit. To receive the empowering, which will mean that you can do these things. Because you've got the Spirit in you. And it's God's work through his Spirit. You see, what the early church doesn't do as soon as Jesus left and had departed is get busy with the things that it thought was the right thing to do. It doesn't begin frantically organising loads of activity and setting up loads of committees, and it certainly didn't have a PCC. It doesn't get on with things in its own strength. Instead, the believers follow Jesus' command to wait. To wait for direction, to wait for empowering, to wait for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, as it talks about somewhere else in the New Testament, who would come and live inside them and empower them for his mission. And so they waited and they prayed. It's as if God was reminding them that this wasn't their mission. That they didn't do it in their own strength and power, but it was his mission that he was inviting them to be part of. I love what God has been doing here at All Saints in these first few months of this year. The way that actually God has been working in an extraordinary way, bringing several new people here who have had no contact with church and with God before. We've got Sahar sitting here, and this lovely tabby. And I think Sahar's story is just brilliant, just showing that actually this is God's work. The fact that the first week that Sahar turns up, where does God bring Sahar and the other students? Which church in the whole of Malvern does God bring them to? Well, God brings them to this church, where we've got Dinah and Paul who speak their language. You know, I think that's remarkable. And I think it's just a sign that actually this is God's work. That actually we don't do this, we don't force this, but God is doing this stuff. And then inviting us and saying, All Saints, I want you to join in with what I'm already doing in Sahar and Agabon and Keon's life, in Marcus, in Eliza's life, in Emma's life, in Sean's life at the back there, in Alex's life, all these people that have joined us in the last year. You're invited to be part of what I'm doing in it. I think it's remarkable what God's brought. And just at the time when Alpha in town has just started. You know, God knows. God's in control. God's at work. And we need to just look out and say, where are you at work, God? And how can you help us? How can we be part of joining in that? You see, maybe actually this season has been a season of God reminding us that it's His mission, not ours. He's reminding us that we're not just to work hard and be busy in our own strength. That's part of what God's been teaching me the last few months. But that we're primarily called to be led by the Spirit and to join in with what God is already doing, not just what we think is a good idea. I love what Francis Chan says. Francis Chan, whose videos we're watching as part of life groups, in his book Forgotten God, which is what we're basing the life group material on, he says this at one place. He says, I spent years asking God to be part of whatever I was doing. But when I read the book of Acts, I see people privileged to play a part in what God was doing. It's not about us inviting God to be a part of what we're doing. It's about us saying, God, where are you at work? And where can I join in? The early church had no buildings, no resources, and was made up of a bunch of uneducated nobodies. But what happened 2,000 years ago? The under-resourced church, in the space of just a few decades, utterly changed the world. It saw people flocking to come to faith. It saw people healed. Saw people set free. Saw communities transformed. Why? Because they relied totally on the Spirit to empower their mission. As we read on in Acts, we'll see that every big change of direction is prompted and directed by the Holy Spirit. That every significant sermon is preceded by the preacher receiving a fresh infilling of the Spirit. Every key encounter is ordained and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Every new phase of the mission is driven by the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is the powerhouse of mission. Without Him, we will achieve nothing. And it starts with prayer. That's what we're doing over these next 10 days of Thy Kingdom Come, isn't it? We're stopping to wait and pray as Jesus taught the early church to do. And it's no coincidence that we're doing this between Ascension and Pentecost, when Jesus told His disciples to wait and pray between Ascension and Pentecost. And to seek God's direction and to pray for the Holy Spirit's empowering so that we can continue the mission of Jesus. You see, waiting isn't a passive thing. It's not just about sitting there twiddling our thumbs. But it's about earnestly seeking God, ourselves and with others. You know, that's what the waiting room's been about, isn't it? It's been great that we've been encouraged to find that space to simply stop and be still and wait before God. I love what a guy called William Willimon says about waiting. He says, oh, waiting implies that the things that need doing in the world are beyond our ability to accomplish solely by our own efforts, our programs, and our crusades. Some other empowerment, i.e. the Holy Spirit, is needed. Therefore, the church waits and prays. You see, by starting with prayer, we're consciously saying, we're not in charge. You are God. We're saying, we can't do it on our own, but with you we can. It's about saying, show us where you want us to go and what you want us to do. Show us where you're already at work. And we'll come in the power of the Spirit and join in with your mission. For me, these last few weeks, as I think I mentioned before, actually God has said to me, you need to spend a couple of hours up here in the youth room each week, just to be still with no agenda and to come and wait and pray. And I've been doing my best to do that and encourage me and keep me accountable for it. But you know, as I've done that, and I did that throughout Lent, and I'm continuing to do it after Easter too, I've sensed God giving me a fresh and deeper empowering. Actually, stuff for the last few weeks has been tough in many ways. And yet, actually, I keep saying to people, I don't know where I've got the strength from. But actually, I feel really fresh, despite all that's been going on and all the emotional stuff that I've had to carry, particularly with Helen and Jeremy. And yet, that's come from the Spirit. That comes from us stopping and waiting and praying and saying, not my strength I'm doing this in, but your strength, God's. As I've spent time up here in the watchtower, as I call it, God's given me words and phrases. That phrase, living ordinary lives, learning to live ordinary lives with God. God gave that to me when I was in the youth room. As a word for this season for us. And I say that to encourage, well, say that firstly to say, please keep me accountable to that. And allow me, by actually, perhaps I might not be other things, but you know, that's the most important 2 hours of my week. If I'm not other things, actually, but I'm there, that's the most important thing. And help me to do that. Allow me to do that. Encourage me to do that. But I'd also say to you guys too, I say, actually, what does that look like for you to do in your own life? What would it look like? Maybe you haven't got 2 hours that you can do out of your paid work time. I can. I'm paid to pray. But maybe actually find 10 minutes or find 15 minutes. Or maybe if you've got half an hour in the morning just to stop and start the day with God. Maybe to come with no agenda. See, often when I come up to the youth room, I just say to God, God, show me what you want me to look at in the Bible today. And it's amazing how many times actually God leads me to really significant stuff. We come with no agenda to wait and to pray and to be open to God's. And we then actually are led by Him and empowered by Him to join in with His mission. I'm nearly finished. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says to his disciples, these ordinary people, if you wait and pray, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses. See, the promise is if we wait and pray, we will receive a power. We will be empowered out there in the world to go and bring the kingdom in and to be lights for God out there. That's what Jesus says to us. He says the same thing to us. Wait and pray for my empowering, and you will receive power to be my witnesses, to continue my mission. But as I close, I just want to remind us that actually it's not about just the dramatic stuff that we perhaps will read in Acts. That you don't just think, well, unless I'm actually going out and healing the cripple and praying for people in wheelchairs and finding that they're restored, and God may well do that, I pray He does. But don't think if you're not doing that, you're not doing Jesus' mission. And I want to share again a quote which I shared at Deeper last time from Jean Vanier, which I love and I've found really helpful. He says, His disciples will continue His mission and His works, but what is this mission? It's to give life. Eternal life, and to reveal the face and heart of God to people. It's to be a presence of God in the world where there is an absence of God's. God's works are not big miracles. Well, they are sometimes, but it's making the point. They're not just big miracles, which some heroic disciples may be called to do. But all those works of simple kindness and goodness, which give people life and lead them to trust in themselves and in God. You know, every time the Spirit empowers us to seek peace and bring reconciliation where there's conflict, we are doing the things that Jesus did. Every time where the Spirit empowers us to share a little bit of our story of what God's done in our life, and by doing so, show people the heart and face of God, we are doing the things that Jesus did. Every time the Spirit empowers us to choose to love instead of to hate, to respond in the opposite spirit to those who've offended us or hurt us, We are doing the things that Jesus did and bringing in the kingdom. Every time the Spirit empowers us to simply turn up and be the presence of God in a place where there is an absence of God's, in your schools, in your workplaces, in your neighbourhoods, wherever that is, you are doing the things that Jesus did. Every time the Spirit empowers us to choose to forgive someone unconditionally when someone has betrayed us, we're doing the things that Jesus did and bringing in the kingdom. Every time the Spirit empowers us to seek out the lonely, the broken, the grieving, to sit with the outcast, to go and give attention to the stranger, the homeless person, we are doing the things that Jesus did. We're bringing in the kingdom just a little bit more. Can we do some of that stuff? I think we can. But let's not do it in our own strength. We don't have to. Let's do it in the power of the Spirit. And that starts by us doing what the early church did, waiting and praying. Praying to be empowered by His Spirit. So in these last few days of Thy Kingdom Come, I encourage you to take time out to wait and pray and be empowered by the Holy Spirit to continue the mission of Jesus in your little part of the world. And just see what God does as He uses you. Let's be still. I just want you to perhaps quietly ask ask God in prayer, in the quietness of your hearts, God, where are you at work around me? Where are you at work in the people and the places that I will go this week? And how can I join in? And maybe God would just put someone on your mind, or maybe even just guide you to say, go and ring that person up, or go and have a conversation with that person, or just to pray for that person this week. Let's just be open to God's Spirit now, prompting us, leading us, showing us where He's already at work. Holy Spirit, empower us to join in and continue the mission of Jesus. Take us and use us, we pray. Amen.